Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, September 18th, 2016. This is episode 1324. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Texture, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet. For your free trial, visit texture.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, and all that jazz. 88, yes, iPhone 7, sure. 8888, ask Leo. That's my number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you call right now, Heather Hammond will pick up and prepare you for your appearance on national radio. 888-827-5536. Now, we can talk about the iPhone 7 if you wish. I have one sitting here I just saw for the first time seconds ago. My colleague, Josh Windisch, who prepares the website for the show, somehow, I think it has something to do with the fact that his wife works at an Apple store, but he says no, has a jet black iPhone 7 Plus, which is, of course, the one that Apple said. They told everybody last Thursday, don't wait in line on Friday because we don't have any 7 Pluses. But there is a lesson to be learned from this, which is that more phones come in all the time. I would guess there's 747s streaming from Shenzhen, China to wherever they... Where do you think they... San Francisco? I don't know. Coming in, bearing iPhones, massive amounts of iPhones, shipping them as fast as their little wings can carry them. Of course, they're making them as fast as they can as well. Many, many people... Oh, it's Kim Schaffer. I'm sorry, Kim. My apologies. Kim Schaffer's going, hey, it's me in there. I don't see her anymore. She's over in the other room now. I used to be able to see right through the window. Many people bought the iPhone 7 first day. And this, despite the fact that it's really not much improved. In fact, one could make the argument that it's somewhat disimproved with the removal of a headphone jack. Now I have to be, I notice I have to be very careful when I'm taking my headphones. Oh, do I have the dongle, the adapter, the thing that came in the box, fortunately, I didn't have to buy it, that takes a regular headphone and makes it work with the new iPhone on that lightning port. That's kind of annoying. Even more so when you realize that that place where they put the headphone jack, they put what looks like a speaker grill. So you look at the bottom of the iPhone 7 now. It looks like it's got side-by-side speaker grills. And they even claim, you know, stereo sound. But actually, that left-hand one is not a speaker. The right-hand one's a speaker, as it was on all previous iPhones. And the top slot, where it used to be just the for phone conversations, now also plays music out of there. So the stereo is you know, top and bottom. The left-hand speaker grill actually isn't a speaker grill. I think they could have left the headphone jack in. You know what they put there instead? A little holes in the bottom and a plastic baffle inside here where the headphone circuitry would be. And the plastic baffle serves one purpose according to Apple. They didn't say this up front, but they had to. When iFixit took it apart, they had to explain because iFixit said, well, oddly enough, there's no speaker behind that speaker grill. There's just a piece of plastic. They weren't sure what it was for. Apple says, well, what that is a barometric vent, my friend. Oh, that lets the inside of the iPhone equalize air pressure with the outside. And, of course, you have to have something special to do that because it's waterproof now. So there's no just like it's sealed up. So you have to have a special barometric vent that doesn't let water in but lets air in, I guess, or something. I don't know. Magic. I don't understand it. And that barometric vent is critical because otherwise the altimeter wouldn't work in the new iPhone. So if I'm not mistaken, you've lost a headphone jack, but you've gained an altimeter. Okay. Very important, by the way, the altimeter is very important if you climb stairs and you want to know how many floors you've gone up. I don't think a pilot should use it. In fact, I'm pretty sure pilots wouldn't use the altimeter in the iPhone unless, you know, maybe all the electronics in the plane died and it was just kind of this emergency thing. Wow, hey, at least I have an altimeter in here. But I don't know. I would kind of rather have a headphone jack than know what my altitude is. It just seems like something I more commonly use. Maybe if I were a skydiver. I don't know exactly. But that would be pretty important, wouldn't it? How close am I to the ground? So you know when to pull the ripcord. Okay. So this is the skydiver edition iPhone 7. Otherwise, you know, it's really not very different. The old cases work, except they put the holes in different places, so you have to get a new case to match the camera, the new camera. New camera's nice. Not, you know, if you really want a good camera, I'm still of the opinion. It's nice to have a camera phone, and you can take pretty good pictures with it, and it's great for snapshots. It's great for recording life. It's actually absolutely killed the point-and-shoot market. That's just going away. In fact, I was sad to see that the camera store, 16,000-square-foot camera store in Palo Alto, just up the road a bit from Apple, Keeble and Shuchat, which was a great camera store, is closing. They said business has been down 10% every year for the last few years. It's just shrinking. Why? Camera phones, right? Nobody's buying a camera. You got one in your pocket. It's really more a camera than a phone these days. And Apple does a nice camera. It's a nice camera. It's not as good as a dedicated camera. Most dedicated cameras would give you better results, more zoom, all of that. But you got it in your pocket already. So, you know, that's convenient. I happen to carry a camera with me most of the time. But it's nice. There, people are talking, I don't know what, I have not heard this, about the hiss. Somebody in the chat room, Jim Tez says, hissgate. I'm not going to go away. I'm not going to go there. It's not a gate. There are some some people who say that their iPhone 7 is hissing audibly when it's working hard. I'm thinking, I don't know why that would be, except maybe that it's so tightly sealed that as it gets hot inside, air expands when it's heated, and it's escaping the barometric vent. Put your ear to the barometric vent, and if your phone is working hard, see if it goes, that might be air escaping, pushing out the other way. I don't know. Anyway, I have an iPhone 7, 7 Plus, actually. I'll answer any questions you have. And I have now seen the jet black one. It's beautiful. But as Apple said in the fine print, when you ordered it, at the bottom of the page, put a case on this. I know it's beautiful. You got it because you want to show it off. Put a case on it because it scratches so easily. CNET did a scratch test. They put it in a bag with like a purse with keys and stuff and shook it. They rubbed it on the tabletop. And I can't remember what else they did, but it was bad. It looked bad. It was badly scratched. Minor abrasions, but if you want a shiny phone, get a case. Which is funny because that's all we care about now is what color the phone is. But you just put in a case right away. 8888 Ask Leo if you want to ask about the new iPhone, the new Apple Watch. Don't have that yet. Should have that by the time I come back. I'm going off on vacation. We've got a brand new show we recorded ahead of time next weekend. Scott Wilkinson will be here the weekend after with Jason Snell. They can answer any questions. Scott about home theater, Jason about computers. That's going to be a good tag team, and then I'll be back the week following. And at that point, I will have the new Apple Watch we can talk about. I have to say, though, and Apple's very good at this, the new iOS 10, the upgrade to iOS that is available for most older iPhones, if you don't go too far back, and new Apple Watch 3 that's available for all Apple Watches, massive improvements. Get those if you've been holding off. I think they work wonderfully. And the initial problems, the bricking the phone, that in the first hour, those have been fixed. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's talk high tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the number. Kim, your camera's off. Maybe that's why I don't know who's there. But you're there, aren't you? Are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, I just see darkness when I look at you.
Yeah, I'm seeing the menu over on that screen.
Nothing, nothing at all. Are you sitting in the dark?
No. A little lighter today than it has been.
So you have been answering the phones.
Yeah, I have.
And you have lined up lovely callers for us.
They are lovely. They're all men, though.
Well, let's get some ladies on here. Let's get some ladies.
How about Josh with some iPhone questions?
All right. Yeah. Well, is it our Josh? Is the guy with
it's
the...
Not Josh.
Not that Josh. All right. The guy with the jet black iPhone. Hi, Josh in Wichita. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I had a couple questions about my 6S Plus. First of all, kind of slowing down a little bit, but I kind of made up my mind after seeing the new one that I'm going to try to wait another year to upgrade. So I've heard you recommend quite a few times to wipe or restore your phone periodically to speed it back up. But I want to do it correctly so I don't lose anything in the process. So what are your recommendations on that?
Not to do it.
Not to do it.
More. How old is the phone?
It's a 6S Plus. October last year.
Don't worry about it. An iPhone, you don't have to worry about it. So if I said that, it was in a very limited circumstance that you would want to do this. There's a thing called trim that is kind of relevant to flash memory. What happens is flash memory works a little different than the computer drives we're used to, the kind of memory in your phone. And it slows down over time if the operating system doesn't do garbage collection, a.k.a. trim. However, the iPhone is not in this category. In fact, the iPhone's using the fastest memory made. It's really good memory, and it doesn't have this problem as far as I know. So I wouldn't recommend doing that. It wouldn't hurt, but you raise the issue, which is, well, how do I back it up? I mean, you can connect it. When I got the new iPhone, the way I did it is I took my old iPhone, connected it to a computer, to iTunes, ran a backup. And you want to check the box that says encrypt backup, because that way it'll also back up passwords, things like Wi-Fi logins. And then when you get the new phone, you connect it back to iTunes and restore it. Now, something has changed in that process. It used to be that would restore everything. This phone would look like that phone identically. In fact, when I did do it, the phone name even went to iPhone 6S Plus, which is not, it's an iPhone 7 Plus. So I had to rename the phone. Mm-hmm. However, Apple has changed one thing, which is that the apps do not get restored. You have to re-download them. So just be prepared for a little bit of wait while, and you want to have speedy Wi-Fi when you're doing this. So do it at home. Because you're going to have to reinstall all the apps. You don't have to do it manually. It knows which apps to reinstall, but it does have to download those all one by one.
Okay.
So in other words, I don't think – I'm not going to say categorically that an iPhone does trim. I'm sure it does. But I've never seen the slowdown issue, and an iPhone does use really kind of almost a different kind of memory from the other phones. Maybe an older phone, that would be a good idea to wipe it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to do that.
Well, and the main place that I notice it is when I'm opening my camera sometimes to try to take a picture real quick.
Yeah.
And it will, I get kind of a black screen. You can
see it freezes up.
And all that.
Yeah.
So
guess what? iPhone 7, iOS 10, same thing.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know why. I think it's because it's making a hardware switch of some kind. It's doing something interesting we don't know about, but that'd be my guess. And sometimes that hangs up. I'm still getting, and I'm disappointed because I would hope that Apple, with a super fast A10 Fusion processor and the latest iOS would have fixed some of the hangs. But I still get hangs sometimes you launch a program and it's frozen for a while. It's doing something. And then it goes, ah. And the camera one is the worst culprit. Does it on Android, too. Yeah. So my suspicion is it has to do with some sort of hardware switch that's going on when you're changing from the screen display to the camera display. It just takes a little while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
so, in other words, I don't think it would fix that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. At least I'm not going to devote all this time to trying to fix something.
You could try it, but I don't. Unless somebody calls me and says, "Oh no, that fixed it." I mean, this is a brand new phone, and it's doing the same thing. So.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
It doesn't do it all the time; just sometimes. And usually, by the way, it only is the first time you launch the camera. The second time it'll launch very fast. It's the first time in a while that you've launched a camera. Somebody says it's building thumbnails.
Not all the time.
So. Yeah, it's not all the time, yeah.
Okay. And the second part of my question was brought about by them, ditching the headphone jack, obviously.
Yeah.
I've had an issue with this phone if I try to watch a video, and on my iPad Air 2 as well. With latency, watching a video. So I end up just plugging in my headphones. But on the new one, that won't be an option if I want to be charging the phone at the same time. So what is there anything I can do to calibrate that, or is there something I need to be looking
for? So you had latency, but only in wireless. Well, as soon as you got wired, it was okay.
Yeah, well, it's perfect.
One solution is to get the $40 Belkin dongle. It's a lightning port that has two connectors, one for charging and one for a headphone jack.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that would solve it. Apple, for some reason, hasn't done such a thing, but Belkin immediately released that because it's not a complicated thing to do. The audio coming out of the headphone jack is the same analog audio that's coming out of the lightning port. The lightning port, even though it's a digital port, is capable of doing digital audio, does not, as far as I can tell. That's analog audio. So it's the same thing as the headphone jack. So if the headphone jack fixed it, the lightning port should fix it as well. I understand you want to charge at the same time. That's one of the drawbacks of not having a headphone jack.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I didn't even know that existed. So
They just released it.
Still a year out, but yeah.
You know, a lot of this will go away, and I think I'd be very interested to see when Apple releases its new Bluetooth AirPods and Beats starts releasing the Bluetooth Beats headphones using Apple's new W1 chip. My guess is the latency you're seeing, which is the delay, the radio delay from Bluetooth, will get better or go away. One of the things Apple's doing by doing its own Bluetooth chip is really speeding up Bluetooth, making it more reliable. I think it's exactly that it's going to address. So by the time you get your phone, you'll be getting wireless headphones that support it. Should be okay.
Sounds great.
Hey, enjoy.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate
thanks.
It.
My pleasure. Yeah. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Chris Marquardt's back from his Greenland journey. He's going to be joining us about 1 hour to review the images we've all taken and start us on a new assignment. We'll talk digital photography. More of your calls, though, right after this. Yeah, I've been told that can happen with Bluetooth. You get a little lag. IHOP pancake stretch. So, Mike B., you saw me do this, and I'll do it again. I can watch any other show on the TiVo stream, but it's apparently restricted, maybe because I'm in the Niners 80i or something. I don't know. Yeah, you can see it. Can you see anything? Can you see a Jets game? Because you don't even need to send you a screenshot. I'll show you, my friend. So let's just see. I can watch. Let's go to the guide. I can watch. I should be able to watch. I'm not logged in. Oh, yeah, I am. All right. So I should be able to watch. Let's see if I can watch auto racing, okay? Let's watch auto racing. Global Rally Cross Championship. Oh, you think maybe our firewall is stopping it? I tried it at home before I left, and it worked fine. Oh, it won't work on the website. All right. Well, let me do it on an iPhone. Let me do it on an iPhone here. Because I would like to see the Niners game. Why won't it work on the website? Oh, because you could record it. That makes sense. All right. What to watch now? Baseball. 49ers or Panthers? Let's see here. Okay, let's see. Let's see if I can do it. Watch on iPhone. That would be nice if I can do that. Because I just put an iPad up. Yeah, good. Looks like it's working. Good. All right, Mike B. Well, I'm not going to let you watch the game. That's for sure. That would be a violation of the NFL's... Yeah, good. Ooh. Wait a minute. The score changed. It must be really old. Maybe this is a rerun? Oh, you know, is it watching? No, that's right. Okay. Good. You could just see a little bit of it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, asks Leo. Jerry in Riverside, California. You're next. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I've got a question. Glad to get in. And it's about body cams.
Okay.
You'll be my research assistant, and you can discuss this on a future program.
Okay.
Because I'm sure you can't know everything all the time.
Oh, definitely not.
And it's about, there's so many different brands, and each brand might have more than one model. And if I want to get the most bang for the buck, then it might be, you know, maybe a few notches down from the most expensive one. Sometimes the most expensive one isn't the best. And anyway,
are you a police officer? What do you want a body cam for?
Well, I wish I had one all my life with all the damn crooks I have to deal with. Sometimes the police.
So ideally, you'd like a camera. But the reason I'm asking is you want something that's recording all the time, in other words.
Yeah. Or whenever I hit the button, so I can turn it on and off at will. I don't need to have it on when I'm going to the bathroom or nothing's happening.
And it doesn't need to be live streaming. It needs to be just something that
records.
And you'd like it attached to you somehow.
That's right. And, you know, sometimes you go to the police, you need some help. It says to protect and to serve, and you give them something to do, and they act like they don't want to do it. Go find your stolen bicycle.
They may not be too happy about you recording them, although in public, I don't know about the police station, but in public you have the right to record them. In most states, check your local jurisdiction. Here's what I'm going to recommend. I just got this, actually, and I really like it. It's only $250. It's from the Chinese company Xiaomi, and it's called the Mi Cam, or the Yi Cam, Y-I-C-A-M. You can get it on Amazon. They make it in white or black. You can also, while you're there buying it, buy accessories, including a variety of mounts that would allow you, for instance, and it's fairly small. This is only about the size of a box of matches, small box of matches. You could mount it on your chest. You could mount it on your... They actually have a... I bought a head strap, and that's not probably to walk around, but that's for purposes of extreme sports, which, of course, I'm a major extreme sports aficionado and always jumping out of planes. And so you'd like to have that strapped right on your forehead for that. This is a category not called body cams, called action cams. GoPro is similar as well. And GoPro is a little more expensive. GoPro is the best known name, but I have to say this camera is pretty impressive. It has something of the GoPros... at least the ones I've seen, don't have, which is a little LCD screen on the back. So you can actually review the footage and look at the footage. It also has good battery life, and you can buy external batteries for it. So the GoPro, you charge up the GoPro. This thing you can open up and then pop out the battery. And I bought three extra batteries for it. Also supports Wi-Fi, which is kind of cool. So it means that you can pair your phone or your tablet to it and actually see the output of the camera, or somebody else can see the output of the camera. Maybe a Confederate sitting in a car nearby can see what's going on. Not waterproof, but they have. You can buy a waterproof case for it if you plan to dive in the water, go underwater. I'm actually very impressed by this, and it's really easy to use. It's got a button on the top, just like any regular camera. It can switch from video to stills. I'm in the video mode right now, so I'm recording. And I like it that after you record, you can play back and you can see what it is that you recorded immediately. And that's something the GoPro can't do. Records the audio as well. It's got a microphone on the top. And the audio quality is fairly good. So I think this is pretty nice. It even has a variety of frame rates, including Ultra HD 4K at 3840 by 2160. I probably wouldn't recommend recording in that. You can record in a 720p if you want, which is probably fine for something like a body cam, but at a higher refresh rate, which might help because the more frames, the more detail you'd get. It also records to a micro SD card, and I've put a 200 gigabyte micro SD card in there, and that's a lot of recording time. Even at the super high quality 4K, I've got 7 hours of recording time. If I step it down to a much lower, although more reasonable resolution, like let's say 60 frames per second, 720p, I'm going to be able to get 9 hours, 9.5 hours of recording time. So that seems like that would be adequate for a body cam. So very, very affordable. I have to say, I think, you know, GoPro, of course, is the king of the hill on this, but lately GoPro stock's been going down because everybody in this has expected that the competition would get tough for GoPro. And this is a good example. Xiaomi is a Chinese giant. They make phones and other things and TVs and so forth. And this is their 4K, you know, they call it, you know, you call it a sports cam or a, like, but it's but it could be used as in fact, people use it as a dash cam as well. Pretty cool, and at $250, I think very affordable. Lots more affordable than the GoPro. You'll have to buy those accessories separately, like the waterproof housing. So that's my current recommendation. But I'm more than welcome to hear what anybody else has to say. You know, when you hear something on the show, I encourage you to do one of three things. You can, of course, call and say, "Hey, I got a better idea." It's hard sometimes to get in. 8888-ASK-LEO. You can go into our chat room, which is always available, irc.twit.tv. I'm watching chat. There's other people in the chat. They can help you, and they can also, you know, I can also see what you're saying and add it to the show, so you may hear me from time to time, more often than not, in fact, referring to the chat room. And then finally, you can go to our website, techilabs.com. Everything we say is written there. James is writing it right now. Josh, later in the day, will go add video, add audio. There's lots of material there, and that's free, and there's no sign-up. So techguylabs.com. If you have a better or another solution for a body cam, I think this thing is pretty nice. Compact, great quality. It's very wide angle, as is the GoPro. GoPro, you can determine how wide an angle you want to be, but you do want wide angle because you want to capture everything that's going on in your periphery. So I think this is a very, very good choice. James is telling me that the GoPro Hero 4 Silver has an LCD screen now, too. So for a long time, GoPros didn't, but I guess they've started putting LCD screens on there. You pay a price for that, of course. Battery life goes down. Lots of great things out there now. This is a very crowded category, these action cams. And they're fun. The reason I have this in my hand is I'm going to take this on my trip with me and maybe shoot some video or some, or stuff like that. Thanks, Jerry. Another Jerry, this time San Marcos, California. Hi, Jerry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, welcome.
I've got a question for you. I'm in the market for a new cell phone, and I've been given all kind of information. I only need the basics. I'm not interested in texting anybody or doing all of that nonsense. It's basically for communication when I'm out on the road. I've heard anything from doing the prepaid card to the basic.
Sounds like the thing you don't want is a smartphone. Of course, that's what you go in a phone store, that's all they got. They hide over in the corner. They go, "Hey, well, for $10, you can get this." You want just a basic, what we used to call a feature phone, which is a euphemism for a dumb phone, the opposite of a smartphone. But you'd be better off because you pay less, you don't pay for data. Unfortunately, it's not in my purview because it's not it's not a computer. I talk about computers, and the feature phone is exactly what you want, just a phone. So I don't know what to get, to be honest with you. But I think almost anything would do here. If you got a suggestion, again, you know where to go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, featureless phone is probably a better name than the feature phone. Really, they still charge like $30 a month for a feature phone? That's unconscionable. That should be much less expensive. There must be a way to get a lower service. All right, I'm going to get TiVo going here. On my iPad going to be what I said it would be when it first came out, the ultimate personal television device. It's, of course, become much more than that. But 8888-ASK-LEO. David is on the line from Burbank, California. Hi, David. Oh, I got to push that button there. Hey, David.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hey, a couple things before we get into the internet security and antivirus and malware situation. The gentleman that asked about a phone, Nokia makes a traditional phone.
They still do?
Yeah,
wow.
They call it the rugged line, rugged phone.
Ah, nice.
So that would probably be good for that gentleman.
Yeah. They're the classic candy bar phones. They were the best-selling phones in the world until Apple came along.
Well, I still have one and it works well.
All right. Great recommendation. Thank you.
And then not to disappoint you if you're a Niners fan, but the Panthers do have a 14-10
lead. We don't talk about that.
Second quarter.
No, you know what? So my old studio, we had a direct TV subscription, and I had a TV, as many radio studios do, mounted on the wall. You know, in theory, it's so you can have a news channel on, and if anything something terrible happens, you've got,
Right.
But on Sundays, I have to confess, it might have been tuned elsewhere. Yeah. Now we don't have it. So thankfully, Mike B. in our chat room has helped me get my TiVo set up so I can stream.
Oh, there you go.
Steam's, CNN. Yeah. That's what I'm watching. Yeah,
that's it. That's a good alternative. I happen to be fortunate enough to have that TV.
I actually like TiVo a lot. And, they got bought, and I hope that they stick around for a while because, putting this on an iPad is actually in some ways better than having the TV on the wall. I mean, it's very high quality. I'm streaming it from my house because I own the TiVo and the cable subscription at home, and they allow you to do that, which is great.
Yeah, the TiVo or DirecTV's answer, the Genie, which...
Yeah, very similar, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea. And, I'm going to be traveling, and it would be nice if I could get local television streaming over the internet.
Right.
And I will be able to, so that's a great thing to have.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what can I do for you?
So, for me, I am trying to find a company that has a combination of internet security software, antivirus. Of course, we want to prevent malware.
What operating system are you using?
Vista, Windows 7.
7 or Vista, which? Both?
7, actually.
7, yeah, 7's good. Yeah. Vista was Vista fixed, basically.
Right, correct.
And I like 7. Microsoft offers – now, the reason I ask is if you get Windows 10, Microsoft builds antivirus in, and it's probably adequate. The problem with – what's happened with antivirus is that the traditional model of an antivirus is you put it on your computer, and it periodically scans for viruses.
Yeah.
And there's also – many of them have some sort of heuristics that, they watch file changes happening and – potentially flag you for dangerous file changes. You don't want them to do too much more than that because they'll start to get in the way of your normal operation. They'll stop you all the time saying, is this you or is it a bad guy? What's going on here? I don't know what's happening. And that's annoying.
I forget which company used to do that was notorious. There was one that was notorious for that. Every time you went to...
So annoying.
Yeah.
And so, still to this day, when people call and say, I can't get online, my first suspect is always security software.
Right.
So here's the deal. Because viruses now arrive so fast, it's hard for the antivirus companies to keep up. And so as a result, you'll get signature updates maybe even daily. But if the virus is at what we call a zero day, you can get infected before they even discover it and fix and put out a fix.
Yeah,
also,
like
what antiviruses are a little bit stymied by the intelligence of the bad guys these days.
Yeah.
They often attach the virus to a system file, and the antivirus can't remove the virus without making your system unbootable.
Right.
So all the antivirus can do is say, hey, something's wrong, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, it's interesting. I just saw a study last year from Google. They talked to normal users and computer security experts. Normal users, antivirus was the number one thing for security. Among experts, it was way down the list, number 8 or 9.
Mm.
What experts say, now, in your case, you're using Windows 7. I would get the free antivirus from Microsoft, Microsoft.com/security_essentials. They call it, you just Google Microsoft Security Essentials. That's not a great antivirus.
No.
It's not as good as some. It's not as good as Webroot, our sponsor. But it's free. It's there.
Hey, how about, do you have any comments on, because I kind of thought that AVG was good.
Do not recommend either AVG or Avast. Both of them lately have had some significant issues.
How about PCmatic?
Don't know that one. Generally, so here's the problem. This has happened to AVG, Avast, McAfee. Because these guys operate at such a low level, they put hooks into the operating system. They've been security flaws. And McAfee, for instance, or was it Symantec? One of them had to patch, I think it was actually Symantec, was actually allowing bad guys in.
Mm-hmm.
They were flawed. So in general, anytime you put software in your system, you're opening and a software like that that operates opening holes. So I think the most important, number one, keep your stuff updated. Update Windows. Nowadays, Windows pretty much does that automatically. Update Flash, your browsers, anything that goes online or could be used by a browser to display content, keep that up to date. Number two, don't open attachments. Don't click on links in email, in Messenger. Do not click on links, because in both those cases, that's how viruses get spread. And then if you want, for belt and suspenders, you know, Webroot, our sponsor, very good. I think one of the advantages they have is they're web-based, so they can update much faster than downloading the signatures. That takes, you know, there's a little delay there. So they're a little more responsive. It's one of the reasons I recommend them. For free, Microsoft's is fine.
For Webroot, can they log on to your computer?
No.
If they're having a problem? No.
And you don't want that.
Okay.
Never give anybody access to your computer, ever. Ever. Unless you, because you're basically, you're giving them ultimate trust. So
right.
You only do it if you know that person is real. And while, you know, you say, well, it's a security company, how bad? But what if somebody's impersonating Webroot? Or what if they have a rogue employee? I never let anybody touch my PC.
Yeah. Okay, so. For paying, you think Webroot's...
They're a sponsor, so absolutely. That's one of the reasons they're our sponsor. For free, Microsoft's is fine. I do not recommend AVG or Avast. And most of the time, if you ask an expert, the antivirus is one of the lowest levels of protection. There's so many things that are more important. Keeping it up to date, backing up, making sure you don't click on links. Those are the big three.
Because we do, bill pay online and all kinds of stuff, so... That's what I was a little concerned about.
People are reasonably concerned because we're hearing about a lot of scams and stuff.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it is from an email that comes in saying, this is the IRS or,
bogus email.
We see these all the time. Mm-hmm. Almost, I would say more than 80% of all infections are people getting emailed a virus and they panic and they open it. So your diligence, your reasonable suspicion... Use that on email scams, and then the next biggest one is like links on Facebook or in your Messenger.
Oh, yeah.
Or even text. I've gotten text messages saying, I got one that said, this is Apple. We found your iPhone. Click here. And because
and
my
you
son
never lost your iPhone.
Well, my son had. That's why I was vulnerable, right? Oh, and I went, no. Oh no, they found it. That's great. And I clicked it, and it looked just like Apple. And I was about to log in, and I went, I thought about it for a second. And I looked more carefully, and that link was not to Apple.com in Cupertino, California, but to Apple.ru in Russia.
Oh, no.
Not the same.
Wow.
So you really, I think being careful is more important than anything. No, you're kind of being alert. And if you are, I think you're going to be okay. Just train everybody in your household, everybody who uses your computer, about this email attachment thing, about this clicking on links thing. Being very careful when you go to a website. If you didn't type it in yourself, look carefully. Make sure you're at the website you think you were. We had a caller, Rose, remember a couple of weeks ago, who had Avast on there. And Avast had a problem with their root certificates being hijacked. And her Facebook was being hijacked by Turkish spammers.
No point.
Porn spammers. Poor little old lady, just, well, elderly wow. person.
Yeah.
And that was shameful. But it was because she had run security software that opened a hole. This is why I'm very nervous about the whole thing. You're right to be concerned, but your vigilance is the most important thing. Vigilance. Your vigilance. Your diligent vigilance. I just made up a word. Your vigilance. Unfortunately, no one heard it. Heard me fix it. Oh, well.
It's here. Introducing Epson's
revolutionary let's go to the tape.
We'll make sure it's in the podcast.
Vigilance. I like that word, though. Your vigilance is what matters. Let's hope everybody thought I was joking. Hey, you know what I'm taking with me on my trip? You might. Texture. Let me show you. I'm going to be on an airplane. I'm going to be riding for a long time. And I want to have something to entertain myself with. Texture is like Netflix for magazines. You know, in the past, I'd go to the bookstore and stock up on magazines. What? Oh, thank you. I'm entered to win. I'd go to the magazine store and I'd have, you know, 8 magazines under my arm. But then I always felt guilty and I'd leave them on the plane. And, you know, or you subscribe and then there's all this waste. I used to have piles of magazines, you know, just by my bed. Now I've got all these magazines. This is the new and noteworthy section, which is awesome. So these are stories that I might want to read. They've got a great editorial team. And the thing is, great stuff is being done in magazines. These are also the collections, Weekend Reads, Election News, Build Your Best Cheeseburger, 5 stories on cheeseburgers. Wow. Like, because when you have access to 200 magazines, you have the world at your fingertips. These are the magazines that I actually have downloaded and I'm taking with me on the plane. I think I'll have enough, frankly, to read. And it's some variety. Consumer Reports, Secret to Stress-Free Flying. See, I want to read that. Dwell, I love that because, it's about housing. And frankly, it's not something I probably would subscribe to, but I just love the idea of having it there. Maxim, it's for the articles. Mother Jones, People. These are the ones and then I can look at the different categories. Let's say I wanted Adweek. So what I do is I favorite it. I'm going to say that's a favorite. And I'm going to say download issue, view all back issues. Yeah, because you get the current issue on the newsstand, back issues as well. And this is what I do when stuff I want all the time. I auto download new issues. So now I'm going to get on the plane and I'm going to have all of these magazines at my fingertips, the same as if it were on the newsstand. And by the way, so much more affordable than subscribing or even buying, issues. And it's so easy to navigate. You know, you want to read about stress-free flying? There's even stuff in here that you can't get in a magazine, like video and so forth. This is really awesome. Look, I want you to try it free. Go to Texture, TEXTURE.com/twit, and you'll get a free trial. And I have to say, this is awesome, really awesome. Texture.com/twit. It's the new way to read magazines, and I just love it. Let's go back to the index. I can show you all of the previous stuff, the index of the magazine. I can go back to my list. I mean, what a great way when you're getting on an airplane. Hollywood Reporter, Atlantic. I love photography, so I got Shutterbug. I love stereo equipment, so I have sound and vision. Of course, the fiction and nonfiction and reporting in The New Yorker. Travel and leisure, I'm about to travel. Vanity Fair, I want to read about Bruce. Got to read about Bruce. Textya.com/twit. Hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. Going to have Chris Marquardt, our digital photographer, in about 20 minutes, half an hour. Talk. Actually, I think what we're going to do is review the assignment. We were asking people to take pictures illustrating the word or concept. I think it was fly, right? And we will review those, and we'll get a new assignment if you want to play along the home version of our game. Phone number, if you'd like to call in and talk about tech, is 8888-ASK-LEO. It's a really challenging subject, talking about malware. There are certainly things you can and should do to protect yourself. I understand why people are paranoid. But at the same time, I don't want to encourage paranoia. We, you know, in the earliest days of the internet, people often asked, called in and said, well, is it safe to shop online? And I would say yes and no. I mean, it's look, you're giving your credit card to a waiter who disappears for a few minutes and then comes back with your bill. That person or somebody else back there could steal your credit card number and all the information without, you know, swipe it. And you wouldn't even know. So it's not more dangerous to use it online. And yet it is true, and I've had it happen. People do get credit card numbers stolen online. So yes and no. It's and it's kind of the same thing with using your computer. It's scary. It can be scary. And if you didn't connect the computer to the internet, well, it would be safe. As long as you didn't let anybody touch it, it'd be safe. But it wouldn't be very useful, would it? Here's this really scary thing is that hacking tools are so evolved and hackers are so numerous now that if somebody were to go after you, you would be hard-pressed to protect yourself. And we've seen it time and time again. Kevin Roos, who's a very good technology reporter for Fusion, did an experiment a few months ago. He hired two hackers. Two different groups, one that specialized in technical hacks, finding holes and exploits to get into your system, and the other that used social engineering. And he said, hack me. But here's, you know, the only limitation I'd place on you is don't do anything damaging to my credit or my personal life and undo it when you're done. But this is for purposes of the article to see, well, if somebody targeted you, would it be possible? So group number one, the technical hackers, and Kevin said, you know, and I was ready. I was prepared. I knew I was there. Somebody was people were going to try to hack me. And I still they sent him an email, a scam, and he fell for it. He got spearfished. And by the time he was done, this group had not only taken over his computer, but put something called a RAT on it, a remote access Trojan that allowed them to turn on the camera, watch his typing, and use the speaker. That's how he began the article. It's a great article if you haven't read it yet. And it's Fusion. I don't know. Look for Kevin Roos Fusion Hack Me. You'll find it. I'll put a link in the show notes. The way the article begins is, I was at my computer one night and a voice said, you look bored. That'll wake you up. Your computer says, you look bored. Well, it was, of course, the hacking group. So he got, as they say, as the kids say, pwned. It's owned. They owned him, but they for some reason they do it with a P. He got pwned. The other group, social engineering group, is even more scary in a way because it didn't require Kevin to do anything. They posed, a woman calling for them called Kevin's cell phone company, posing as his wife. He's not married. And even made it more realistic by playing a YouTube video of a baby crying in the background so that the customer service rep, by the way, that's an important thing. They're called customer service rep. They want to serve you. And so the customer service rep believed that this woman was his wife. Furthermore, she said, he's just gone out of the country. I need his, his cell phone number because I have to do something and the baby's crying and I need it. You gotta help me. And the customer service rep said, oh, of course, my dear. Here it is. And just gave it up. Just gave it up. And we've seen that again and again. This is called social engineering, where you trick somebody. And customer service reps are often a weak link in this whole secure chain because they know stuff about you. And similarly, after she got the cell phone number, she got more and more and more, and pretty soon, boom, Kevin Roos is owned once again, or pwned, twice pwned, even though he saw it coming. He knew they were going to do it. He couldn't. He actually later talked to a security expert, and the security expert, he said, this is terrifying. Anybody can hack me anytime. Security expert said, well, do you worry about ninjas when you walk down the street? Well, no. But you understand that if ninjas should decide that you were a target, there would be nothing you could do about it, right? They would chop you into little pieces before you could blink an eye. Well, yeah. Well, that's life. You can't have perfect safety. If you don't connect to the internet, you never go outside. You shut your windows and doors. You lock everything, and you sit there with a loaded shotgun. I guess maybe you're safe, unless you shoot yourself in the foot by accident. We live in a world where there are risks, and so I'm always torn talking about security. There are things you should do. At the same time, there's no perfect security. We are all vulnerable. Most of us survive by not being a target. If you are a celebrity, or somebody who, for instance, a security expert, or some guy on the radio talks about technology, then you may be a higher priority to be attacked than just a normal person. And those people have to probably take further steps to protect themselves. And as we've seen in the past, it's often inadequate anyway. Because they're, you know what, the world's full of dopes, really jerky people who take pleasure in other people's pain and suffering, frankly. And just, you hope you don't catch their eye, I guess. However, if you want to be safe, it's very, simple. You keep your system, you could do the minimum. You got to do the minimum, which is keep your system up to date. Don't open email attachments. Don't click on links. If you feel better running antivirus software, please do. There's really not a lot of evidence that it's going to protect you, but it might warn you if you do get infected. It's really a tool from an earlier time. Nowadays, stuff spreads so fast, and these guys are so pernicious and sneaky and smart, maybe that an antivirus isn't much use. And sometimes it's worse. We've seen, as I said, lately, we've seen antiviruses open holes in systems, cause problems, block you from doing things you want to do. They can be annoying and reduce your security. So anytime you put any software on your system, there's always that burden. That software can slow you down, can cause security issues. Always the rule is put the least amount of software you need on your system. Don't just install stuff on your phone, on your laptop, or your tablet just because you want, oh, this will be fun. The more stuff's on there, the more risk. Be judicious about what you install. That's really true on smartphones. Massive flaws in iOS and Android were uncovered this month. Massive flaws. And at least in the case of Android, the way you would get it was by downloading an application from the Play Store. If you don't know you need it, you don't know who it's from, don't install it. Less is more in this case. 8888, Ask Leo. And then I guess you have to kind of be, I hate to be cynical, be alert. That's always good in general. Pay attention. That's advice that makes life better all around. Pay attention. Don't be cynical. Just pay attention. 8888 Ask Leo. We will go back. I wanted to talk about it a little bit. There are lots of tools. You talk to any nerd, they'll say, oh, I use Sandboxy, and I really like the malware bytes or whatever. And fine. But remember, everything you install opens another potential avenue of attack. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Buenos dias, senor. ¿Cómo estás, Christopher?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome back.
What a surprise. How are you?
Did you have a good time?
I did. It was amazing.
Oh.
I'm just about to send you the email with the review links.
Good. And I'll look for a link of pictures from Greenland, too, please.
And then next week. No, actually, you're on vacation next
week. I think we have records, too. Pre-records we could use.
That's fine. We should find an actual spot to talk a bit about how to shoot big ice cubes, because that was quite an experience.
Right. Oh. So. But not. Yeah, no, that was just. Yeah, so we didn't play one of the. How many pre-records did we not play? Just one.
I think Burke said there's one
left. We missed
left.
One, yeah.
So that would be on next week.
Yes, and then you don't have to worry. And
but then the week after, I would love to talk about shooting big ice cubes.
Well, I won't be here, and you could talk to that about that.
Oh, the week after next
Scott,
week?
Yeah, I'm gone until October. I won't be back here till October 8th.
Oh, that's cool. That's fine. No problem.
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit of the... What do you call that when you're like almost on vacation?
I don't think we have a word
spacey.
For that in Germany.
They should. If anybody would have that, it'd be Germans.
Let me think about this for our segment.
Must
Maybe
be
I'll
a portmanteau word. But we're going to do the review. Go ahead and do that, and we'll talk it again in 10 minutes.
I think you're vacation ripe. I think that's the word.
Vacation overripe.
Urlaubsreif.
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 Reif.
All right, talk to you in 10 minutes.
I'm in vacation standby. Thank you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Chris Marquardt, the photo guy, just around the corner with his photo review. Meanwhile, Frank is in Newark, California. Hi, or is it Franny? Hi, Franny.
It's Frank.
Frank, okay, whatever. The text, I got to tell you, on the phone is so small that a K and an I are almost indistinguishable. It's a few pixels, that's all. So I apologize. Frank.
No problem, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And congratulations on all the success over the years.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been lucky.
So, yes, you are.
Yeah.
It's a great gig you have.
I agree.
My question is regarding Bluetooth, and everyone has Bluetooth speakers, headsets, the little Bluetooth dongles, and what my problem with mine is that they time out and turn themselves off if they're idle.
Yeah.
So, there has to be some way of going into it and changing those settings so that it can stay on longer or change.
That would be cool. Yeah. Which Bluetooth device do you have?
Well, I'm just calling in general. What I have is I bought a generic USB Bluetooth dongle.
Yeah.
And what I do is I plug it into my cigarette lighter in the car.
I see.
And it's got a 3.5 millimeter coming out for the radio.
I see.
So what
and
I
then, do, and then it becomes a Bluetooth transmitter that you pair your phone to.
Exactly.
I
into
see.
The radio. And what happens is after the music stops, and let's say I play one song and I don't get to it in time and play the next one, it times out within seconds, maybe 10 to 20. And I'd like to get in there with some sort of software GUI and go in and change that.
Yeah.
And it will turn off, stay idle for 5 minutes, you know, because it's not a... Not
so what's turning itself off is this little Bluetooth thing that plugs into the cigarette lighter, I guess, yes?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I doubt that has a user interface. So some devices you'd be able to go into the settings... For instance, and turn, you know, maybe it says auto sleep after 5 minutes or whatever, and turn that up. But there's no interface to that. It's the way it is.
No, there's not.
Yeah,
correct.
And that,
there's not. And
you know, I mean, I might speculate that it does that to keep from draining your car battery if you left it plugged in and it stayed on. You know, you'd drain the car battery. I don't know if there's a fix to that, to be honest. That's just the device, the cheap. Chinese device that you're using. It's just the way it is.
Right. And I just figured, okay, it's an electronic device. It has some sort of operating system.
Maybe. Maybe. It's pretty basic. How much did you pay for it?
It was under $5.
Okay.
Let's say I want to change the name. If I wanted to change the name or maybe add a password even to it, which...
No idea, because it's specific to that particular $5 device. And at that price, it's made in China. It's probably a very simple chip. And you probably don't have any way to modify it. I doubt very much at that price that it has firmware or anything else. It's very, very simple. So I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, you get a different device. You know, generally speaking, something at that price has just a chip. And all the behavior is written in stone, in effect, and unchangeable. Some more sophisticated devices do a better job, but I think that's just what you got. That's how it works. Maybe try another one. This is what Apple's trying to fix. I don't have high hopes, but you know Apple, they're so good at marketing. They didn't even use the word Bluetooth except to denigrate it, to say, nobody likes Bluetooth. That's why we've created the W1 chip, which is a Bluetooth chip. We're going to make sure that this works better than Bluetooth. But it is Bluetooth. In fact, it wasn't even clear until people tried it after the Apple event that you could pair your new iPhone with the W1 chip to anything other than W1 chip, or vice versa with the AirPods. But no, in fact, the AirPods with their W1 chip can pair to any phone. And the iPhone with its W1 chip can pair to any other Bluetooth device. It's Bluetooth. Maybe, you know, it's a little better. I don't know. It's always, you know, it's Apple is a brilliant marketing company. And one of the things they understand, and a lot of technology companies don't understand, is you have to spin a story around your product. People want the story. Look at the lines. Look how fast the iPhone 7 sold out, even though it's minorly different from last year's. And in some ways, you could say it's even worse than last year's with no headphone jack. And yet, it's sold out faster than any iPhone ever. Because, not because of the technology at all. And I don't, you know, I know, you know, you're going to say, oh, no, Leo, this is superior. Yes, that's the story that Apple told. And it's convincing. It's exciting. We all want to believe, and that nobody's better than Apple at doing that. So Apple, you know, these ear pods, we'll just have to wait and see. Will they be better than regular Bluetooth? Will they be faster? Will they pair better and longer and easier? They certainly will with Apple devices. But how do they make that magic happen? I would suspect it's nothing special, but you never know. You never know. Just important to understand, it's a story, and it's a wonderful story. It's a lovely story, but it's a story. And if you get that, sometimes technology without the story is kind of dull, so I celebrate it. Anyway, I don't have a fix for you. That's just the thing you bought, Frank, and it's just the way it behaves. Try another one. We're going to take a break. Chris, as I mentioned, Chris Marquardt is coming up, our photo guy. He's back from Greenland. We'll show some pictures on the radio. And then we'll review your assignment and pick three photographers from our listener base, from our audience that have taken some great pictures. Chris will talk about them when we come back. We'll also have a link at the show notes, techguylabs.com, if you want to watch along. All right, Marquardt. Mr. Marquardt, I've got to get your pictures. It was so nice having those pre-records. That really, it worked so well. It was like you were here. It was so great.
Wonderful. Yeah. Love that.
Thank you for doing that. Appreciate it.
Oh, totally.
Fly.
Don't mention it.
Fly. Oh, you got... okay, so I turned my my vacation responder on a little soon. Sorry about that, if you get a response.
I know.
I'm not here.
Yes.
I'm out of the country.
Have a look at the Greenland pics in your email. The first link in the email. Mm-hmm. That was a mind-boggling journey.
Oh, you'd not been there before?
No. And we did it on a €100 schooner.
Wow.
Which was beautiful. Quite comfortable, actually.
Nice.
Really comfortable. Not a lot of I mean, it's a. It was a ship that holds 45 people, so it wasn't small.
Oh, but well, that's pretty small. Huge. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a huge cruise ship or anything, but it was a really fun expedition. And it was a real expedition. I mean, we went to places. I mean, 99% of the Greenland waters are uncharted. So it's not
what?
Like
really?
It's completely mapped. Yes.
Wow.
So we went
is that because it's changing all the time because the glaciers are moving around and stuff? And so
maybe I don't know, but also Greenland is just harsh terrain. I mean, right. It's not like it's the infrastructure is very limited. There are more boats in Greenland than cars. And
is
only
it like 50, the Venice 6, of the North?
No. Not really. But it's beautiful. It's amazingly beautiful. We were in Southeast Greenland. Only 3,000 people live there.
Wow.
And Greenland being the biggest island in the world, that means pretty much no one lives there. So when you go and do a landing on the coast, it just is.
Nice.
There's nothing other than, well, nature, some wildlife. We didn't run into polar bears. Luckily, but we saw some whales and some traces of Arctic fox, beautiful light somewhere. That's a glacier behind that schooner that you're looking at. So it's huge ice.
Beautiful. What is the schooner? Is that, that's not what you were on.
Yes, that's what we
were
spent,
on that? It's like
10
a
days on. Yes.
Tall ship. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. We sailed under sail a few times.
How
and
cool.
It's quite comfortable. The cabins. There's a bar. There's a dining hall. It's very comfortable. Two Zodiacs. So we got off the ship every day, pretty much.
Oh, you saw Northern Lights.
Beautiful auroras shot from the ship. So I had to learn how to shoot the aurora from a moving ship.
Not easy, right? Because you usually do time exposures for aurora.
Well, yeah, but it's actually not too hard because you can kind of cheat. You put a tripod on the ship so the ship is in focus and sharp.
Right.
Then if you time it right, I mean, the ship moves, but it moves up and down and up.
It's
and
not
down.
Like
on,
aurora on the, are crisp. Edges
exactly,
and, all that. Yeah.
And then if you time it so you shoot right where the peak is of that motion, that certainly helps and makes it
how long
easier
is he,
to.
Oh, look at that! That's a great picture.
Oh,
the light is so beautiful.
The light, we had beautiful sunsets. We had amazing light. We had clear skies most of the times. We had really interestingly shaped icebergs.
Chris Marquardt is here. He's back from Greenland. And he has brought back not only some beautiful images, which we're looking at his website, Tips from the Top Floor, but some lessons, too. Hi, Chris. Did you have a great time?
Oh, it was just one of the most amazing tours I've ever done. It was a real expedition. We got to break some new ground, go to places there that people haven't really been to.
And your pictures are blowing me away. I mean, they are so gorgeous.
It was. I mean, just the size of these icebergs. Lots of icebergs and landscapes and seascapes, and some of these icebergs are the size of entire cities. You know, this is
wow. And this was a photo workshop that you took.
This is a workshop tour we did. We spent 10 days on a schooner, on a 3-mast schooner, 100 years old, but beautiful and in great shape and quite comfortable on board.
Fun.
So
neat.
It was fun, and it was great. Experience.
Chris does many workshops. You could find out more about his upcoming shops. I bet you he'll do another one in Greenland in the next year or two at discoverthetopfloor.com, right?
That's you're a good going. Chance for that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think you're going back.
I want to go back.
So we had an assignment while you were gone. We gave everybody 4 weeks to take a picture illustrating.
We extended that time a little bit
longer. All right. Illustrating the word or concept fly. And we got some great submissions, but you've selected out of the submissions three that you particularly enjoy.
Yes, I did. First one by Hot Water 101, TT Little Boy in Plane. It looks like a roundabout kind of thing where kids are on planes, and it's a black and white picture. It is, I'm not sure if it's a converted digital photo. It doesn't have any EXIF data on it.
It kind of feels like film, doesn't it? It's a little grainy.
Might be a film photo. Yeah. It even has a few white spots on it, which would kind of lead me to believe that it is actually a film photo with a bit of dust on it from the scanning still visible.
Oh, yeah.
And it is It's grainy. It has that typical black and white film look, and it is a shaky photo. It's one that you would typically kind of dump. You know, it's like, oh, that is, I got camera shake on that. Why should I use that? But the interesting thing about this picture is it tells the story as a kid, and it's in an airplane, and yes, it's moving, but that shows you the motion of that airplane, and that's exactly probably what this kid was experiencing when being on
it's
that
very
roundabout.
Evocative. And of course, the kid is steady as the plane moves around him, so I like it. I think it's a fun picture.
So the photographer panned the camera with the kid, obviously. So the kid, is sharp, is in focus, while the rest of the thing is kind of moving and shaking. But this is beautiful. It's a story. There's a lot of emotion in that shot. I love it.
Well done, Hot Water 101. Nice job. What else?
The second one is by Dave Cork Photo. The title, DSC _1012.
Oh, Dave, you got to... This is
the
Chris,
title.
This is, Chris's pet peeve. Name your pictures.
So this picture tricked me. When I saw it, it shows a girl on the beach, backlit by the sun. The sun
kind
is right behind her head.
Traditional model shot with the sunset.
It is a traditional model shot, and she's got this, what is it, a scarf of some sort. Blowing in the wind. The light is beautiful, but it tricked me because on the first look, it looked like she's walking on clouds. It looked like this was Photoshopped because there's this foam from the sea on the ground. And it looks like she's walking on clouds.
She's
it looks
flying.
Like an aerial shot that she's been photoshopped in or something, but she isn't. She's on that beach, and it just the way the light plays with the foam kind of tricked me. So
you're
that's,
right.
That's
that
why
makes
I selected
it pretty special.
It.
Yeah, that makes it pretty special. Really like that shot. Thank you, Dave.
So, next one is one with
more.
A title by Pixel Pusher. Title is To Fly or Not to Fly. That is the question.
This is one that tells a story.
Exactly. That was why I chose it. Not only is it nicely photographed. So what we're seeing is a roof, and on the roof shingles there is it's a roof in the front and one in the back, and so you have kind of a sense of depth on that photo. And then nicely framed on that roof in the back is one of those toy styrofoam airplanes, and it's upside down and it's on the roof, and you know exactly what happened. There's probably a very sad child somewhere wanting its plane back. So
love the story.
Yeah, you have a story right away, and we've all had that. I mean, lost a ball on a roof or a plane on the roof or something in the neighbor's garden, and so.
And he did some nice things to make this interesting. There's a foreground of another angle of the roof and an vent, and so that's kind of cool. That's a little out of focus in the foreground. It's also a contrasting color. And then, it's like you're peering over the roof. It's nicely done. I think very well done. Pixel Pusher.
It's also well exposed. It's also well exposed from
perfectly.
A technical point of view, because you have a dark roof and the white plane, and getting all of that well within what the camera can do. There's probably a bit of adjustment there, and judging by the camera, Nikon D810 Pixel Pusher.
Oh, serious.
Probably knows.
Serious photographer. Yeah. And by the name Pixel Pusher too, kind of implies it. He might be a professional.
Implies a bit of a technical slant, but it's still a shot that tells a story, and that's why I love it.
Love it. Well, you've shown us three great photos. We like to keep this going. And by the way, you don't have to have a fancy Nikon camera. You can use it looked like we had film in there, and you can use your camera phone if you want.
Definitely.
Now, I am going to participate this time because I have 3 weeks off. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to have multiple cameras. I'm ready. What is our assignment this month?
So when I was in Greenland, one of the biggest challenges there was to show the scale of the icebergs. The icebergs, some of them are like 20 stories high, and just shooting a picture of that iceberg is difficult because, it's not difficult to shoot it, but it is difficult to give the viewer kind of a sense of scale. So the next assignment is scale, and that can be interpreted in so many different ways, but I was going at it from a size comparison point of view. So scale is the next assignment.
All right, I'm going to I'm going to take this one seriously. I'm heading out into the wide world with my cameras. Yes. And I shall submit. Now, you can too. It's not a competition. It's really just it's an assignment to get you out there taking pictures, because the more pictures you take, the better you'll get. And, you know, there maybe is a little reward at the end to have some acknowledgement by Chris on the radio. Here's how it works. Take a picture illustrating the word or concept scale. You don't have to illustrate what Chris was thinking of. You could do whatever you want with it. But, you know, I like that. And then each week you can upload one picture to Flickr. You can upload as many as you want to Flickr, but you can take one of those, tag it with the word, put in the tags scale, the current one, and then submit it to the Tech Guy group on Flickr. Flickr's a free photo sharing site. Great place to go if you're a photographer to share your photos, get commentary, critiques, and pats on the back often from the large group of amateur and professional photographers there. Flickr.com. Join the Tech Guy group. Submit your photo one a week, and in about a month, we'll reconvene and Chris will pick three to review. Next week, you'll be back with more tips. And, of course, people can find more of your work, including your beautiful Iceland photos, at discoverthetopfloor.com. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Leo.
We'll have all links to all the images and all the entries on our website, techguylabs.com. We're sending that right along to James right now, James, so you can put that up there, techguylabs.com. We go on with your calls and more tech talk right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yay. 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 Yay.
Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. So you will be gone.
Not here next week.
Not here next week and the week after
that. Scott and Jason are here the week after that. Next week we have a pre-recorded show, but you can join Scott and Jason. I'm sure they'd love to have you.
If they want to have me, yes, I would be happy to
they
be
do.
On there.
Scott said he would like to have you.
All right. Well, so let me coordinate that directly with
just
Scott.
Just do the same thing. And do you have Scott's email address?
I should have it,
okay,
yes.
If you don't, send me a note and I'll connect you. And then the following week, am I here?
Yeah.
I'm here.
On the 9th,
I'm here on the 9th, yes. I'm back for the
evening. All right, so talk to you.
Thank you, Chris.
Again, then where are you going?
So first, tonight we fly to Paris. I like saying that. Tonight, we take the night flight to Paris, sweetheart. Paris. My favorite city in all the world. And then from Paris, on Wednesday, we fly to Stockholm, Sweden.
Ooh,
in Stockholm, we get on a boat, smallish boat. It's bigger than your boat, but small still. And we sail that boat across the sea to the beautiful Finnish peninsula, to Helsinki.
Ooh.
Then there's 3 days. We spend 3 days in St. Petersburg. The boat just stays there. Then we go to Estonia, Latvia. Then we go through the Straits to Amsterdam, Belgium, Bruges. I'm going to take some pictures in Bruges. Can't wait. And then to Southampton and home.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I can't wait.
You have a great time.
Thank you.
You have a great time.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you in
Thanks,
Sweden.
Chris. See ya.
Bye now.
Bye.
In the year 2018.
In the year 2018. If man is still alive.
If woman can survive.
So, no, we're not going to be pre-recording today. We're all done. We got the show all done in the can over the last few weeks. And then, in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to go straight to Twit. Got a great panel for you today. Go straight to Twit at right after the radio show at 2. I'm going to jump and run over there. And then I need to finish Twit by 4. Because the car comes and my bags are packed. We're ready to go. And we're just going to jump in that car and we're going to get out. Because I have a 9 o'clock flight. And it takes about... traffic can be bad a Sunday night getting into San Francisco. So I figure it'll take about 2.5-3 hours. I should be... get us there in a couple hours before our flight leaves. Sure, Ron. Come on over. Come on over. Get the Tesla. I don't know if I'm going to bring it. I don't think I'm bringing the 360. In order to bring this, I'd have to bring a Samsung phone as well. And I wasn't going to. I was just going to bring the iPhone 7 and the Nexus 6P because I want to use Google Fi while I'm there, and I want to use T-Mobile while I'm there. And I think I just left the Galaxy S7 behind, so I don't think there'll be any 360s. I did 360s last time. This time it's going to be selfie time. I'm going to do all selfies with that Yi Cam. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Everybody, time to boogie. 8888, ask Leo. Boogie on over to your phone and ask me a tech question. I'm embarrassed to say I have in my hand a selfie stick. I think there's a couple of things in the world that are the bane of photography and the bane of being a tourist these days. One is the iPad, because everybody seems to use an iPad to take pictures. And they're big. Now, it's probably all right in most places. You don't want to do that in a concert, though. Please don't, because it just blocks everybody's view or show, you know. And the other thing, and you see this everywhere in monuments and stuff, is the selfie stick. A lightweight rod to which one has affixed a camera or a phone, perhaps a camera phone, that one sticks straight out ahead of one, and then you push the button. In this case, this one has a Bluetooth button that's connected to the camera, and you snap a photo of yourself. And they all have one thing in common. Your arm, left or right, is weirdly positioned, just sticking out of the frame, like you're holding something just out of the frame. But I thought, well, it might be fun I don't know. I'm going to bring my iPad, too. Who knows? I might be taking pictures as well with the iPad. 88. This is the action cam I was talking about earlier in the show, the Yi Cam. I can't wait to play with that a little bit. Take a little picture right now. There we go. 8888, ask Leo. Dennis from Woodland Hills. Thanks for hanging on, Dennis.
Yeah, hi, Leo. Nice talking to you. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
Speaking of what you just said, iPads and taking pictures,
yes.
Which I do a lot of. I'm one of those Apple faithful.
You know what? The iPad camera finally is good enough that it's almost as good as the iPhone camera. So it's worth doing.
Yeah, no, it is. But you're right about one thing. It's a little unwieldy and intrusive. In some ways, bringing that around and, you know, flopping it out of your bag or something.
Yeah.
But, my question, I back up everything to iCloud. And maybe this is something that all cloud services deal with. But, you know, if I want to go back and look at a video that I took in 2011, which the static image is in my photos, and I hit the play button, and it takes forever for that video to find its way back to my phone or iPad from the cloud.
Ah, so it's not stored locally. It's been uploaded to the cloud.
Exactly.
Got it. Yeah, well,
exactly.
Video especially, those are big files. They may be hundreds of megabytes. So,
is that something is there any fix for that, or is that something that, you know, Apple might be working?
Called physics. You have a 100 megabyte file and you have a certain amount of bandwidth. It's just going to download. The only thing you could do is keep those photos and videos locally on the iPad. But as you that becomes prohibitively difficult because it takes up so much space. So, no, that's because you are downloading it.
You are, even though the image is hidden. No, I understand.
Thumbnail. What you have is a thumbnail. This is how iCloud Photo Drive works. It, in order to save space, Apple realized, and I've seen this so many times, I've even had people say, my phone is full, I can't take any more pictures, so I'm buying a new phone. So Apple realized that people just don't manage their photos. They don't take them off. They don't hook up to the computer. If you did, and you're on a Mac, you hook it up and iPhoto launches and it deletes all your – it takes some copies and deletes them. Or on Windows, similar. You could use Picasa or whatever. But people never do that. And Apple also kind of is encouraging that. They're saying, you don't need to be wired. Everything can be done over the Wi-Fi in the cloud. So they created this iCloud Photo Drive, and the idea is, we know you want to see those pictures, so we'll leave thumbnails on your phone, but they don't take up all the space that the original would. And then should you want to see it, we will download it. It still isn't going to take a long time, but a video might, especially a longer video.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. All right, so there's nothing that... I read somewhere not a few months back that it was the configuration of iCloud that has to go through all sorts of detours to get from, you know, where it is back to your phone. And
no, well, it's, you know, you're downloading it. I mean, having a faster internet connection locally would help. iCloud's fast, you know, it's as fast as you need it to be. But it's still, if it's a 100 megabyte file, even if you... I mean, we have a very fast connection here. A gigabit connection to the internet, and it still takes a while. It's just physics. It's bits coming through the... Think about what's happening.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. We're all so spoiled. I understand.
This is a miracle. Your photos are stored in North Carolina on a hard drive in North Carolina, and you're sitting there in Woodland Hills, and you go, gee, I'd like to look at that film. And then your little pocket computer goes, oh, okay, let me get that for you. Connects.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Connects magically to North Carolina. Says, give me that video. Well, by the way, a million other people are doing the same thing at the same time. And it zaps into your phone, and you have to wait 30 seconds.
Sometimes longer, but okay.
Like, not an hour, right?
No, not an hour, but I have gotten so impatient sometimes after like 3 minutes that I say, oh, forget it.
You know, there is the fix that Apple could employ is to compress it more, but that would reduce the quality. So they do store the original quality on the cloud, and I like that, to be honest, because you don't want, for many people, that's going to be their only copy. It's going to get erased from the phone, and that's going to be their copy. They don't want a downgraded copy saved.
Right. Well, okay.
You could put it elsewhere.
I'd rather have the space on the phone than try to
get
1,000 photos.
Now, here's what I would try, and maybe this will work better for you. Google has a very similar product that's free. It's called Google Photos, like Apple Photos, only it's Google Photos. And even the icon even looks similar. Everybody should, on an iPhone or an Android phone, should have this because it's free. You can go into the settings and turn on automatic backup. So when you take a picture or video, it'll back it up to the Google Cloud. Now, what Google does is offer you unlimited free storage if you don't mind that they squeeze it a little bit. Now, in my opinion, they don't squeeze it badly enough that you notice, but they do make it smaller. And then you have the same exact thing. In fact, you can even say, delete it from my phone.
Hello?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Oh. Yeah, now I can.
I think our phone system's a little wonkered. It'll delete it from the phone. You can ask it to. It won't do it unless you say, delete photos that I've already got backed up to the Google Cloud. It'll delete it from the phone, but it'll still show up just as it does with Apple, and you press it, and it will download. Maybe the Google Cloud will be a little faster. I would experiment and just see.
Is that Google? I do have Google Plus, but I've never turned on.
No, it's called Google Photos. It's a separate application called Photos. It is, in fact, the photography stuff that was in Google Plus. They took it out and made it a separate app. And it's nice. You can, if you're willing to pay for it, have full quality photos stored, just as you can, if you're willing to pay for it, have iCloud store full quality.
Right.
But it's free unlimited if you don't mind if they compress it. I would try that because compressed will load faster.
Okay. All right. I'll give that a look.
Yeah.
Even though I worship at the Church of Mac, that's okay.
Well, the beauty of this is you don't have to, you know, break away from the Church of Mac. You're allowed to use both.
Okay.
Actually, this is a great solution for people because one should never trust just one backup. It's always a good idea. You know, I talk about this a lot. 3-2-1 backup, that whole notion of, you know, three copies of everything, two of them, two different kinds of media, and one in the cloud. And that's, you know, two in the cloud's even better. Then if, you know, Apple loses it, has a catastrophic failure in North Carolina, you still got a copy somewhere else. Doesn't hurt, especially since it costs nothing. All right, news at the top of the hour from your local stations are next, but I'm going to come back. I think I'll do another hour. You want to? Okay. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Are you a little chilly? Just a little chilly?
This place is freezing.
Oh.
I thought the new place would actually have decent temperature.
Well, it does. I don't know if you're at the same...
It's not.
you're wearing a sundress. I don't know if it has the same... you're not on my thermostat. I do keep it cold in here. As you can see, it's... Well, it's 71. That's not that cold.
I don't think I have any blood.
Tell Burke, make it hotter in there. I don't want you freezing.
No, because then you guys will come in here and be broiling in an hour.
Well, okay. What temperature do you like it?
I don't know. I think it's just me. I'm always 85? The one that's cold. Yeah, 85.
Really? 85? All right. Well, you're right. Don't change it.
Don't change it.
Put a blanket on.
I have the blanket.
Actually, looks quite cozy.
I keep it in my office too.
Do you really?
Wrapped up in it.
That looks quite cozy. All right. Thank you, Kim. One more hour, then I'll be out of your hair for
2 weeks.
Two, maybe even 3 weeks.
Oh,
you know, yeah. Well, I won't be back. That's like, I guess it's.
And then I just found out
3 weeks
that
what?
When you do come back, you'll have me both days.
I'll have you both days.
You'll have me both days.
Was that wrong?
Heather told me that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, but you'll just have to get my name right.
I can't see you. You were there was no camera. There was just a black. A screen where you're supposed to be. I didn't, but then of course I did see you coming in. I just forgot.
Which that,
and I said,
that
"Welcome
in
back."
Itself was funny.
And I said, "Welcome back."
Like I was here all week.
You know,
it's okay.
I'm an old man. Just
it's
understand
been a really,
that.
Really, really odd day.
I'm an old man. It's just a matter of time before I take my teeth out to show you. It's
please
just...
leave them in.
I'm on my brain is on vacation standby.
Yes. Bimini? I would take a Bimini studio.
Bimini?
Bimini sounds good.
Well, let's see what happens November 8th.
What's November 8th?
It's a day that will live in infamy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches. All that jazz, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Steven's next. San Marcos, California. Hi, Steven.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
I have kind of an unusual question.
Yes.
I have difficulty recognizing faces. And I heard about a software program that was developed over, I think it was in Israel or someplace in the Middle East, that had an 89% accuracy rating in identifying psychopaths.
Psychopaths?
Yes. And, well, I'm interested because...
Wait a minute. I thought you had trouble recognizing faces, not recognizing psychopaths.
It used the faces to recognize the psychopaths. But they've decided not to release it.
Yeah.
They're not going to make it available for sale.
Well, for instance, Google has that technology, as does Facebook. In fact, it's fairly easy to do. There was a company in Toronto that was selling this technology. The way facial recognition works on a computer is actually pretty easy. It's pretty simple. It measures features. So interpupillary distance, for instance. Nose size, length of philtrum, all of those things. Those are all metrics to your face. And it turns out you make enough of those measurements, faces are unique. And they actually do a pretty good job. You can see for yourself on your Apple iPhone or your Facebook or your Google. Right now, the way they do it is you can only do it of people you know and you can't do it publicly, blah, blah, blah. Because the concern, this real concern, is that people would use this technology to stalk people or take pictures of crowds in public and figure, hey, she's kind of cute. I'd like to know more about her, figure out what her name is. This could, you could see, it'd be a public nightmare. So all the companies, even though they have this capability, have decided not to make it public. Interestingly, of course, law enforcement also has this capability, and it's used routinely all the time. You ever notice how many cameras are up in public? In the UK, where they're, you know, any place you go in London, you're at being viewed by at least four or five cameras at any given time, is a perfect example of this. We don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure that they're using facial recognition to keep an eye on crowds. And if you think about it, for anti-terrorist purposes, it makes sense. Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? Is that a known terrorist? Is that a known terrorist? To look at everybody that's going by Piccadilly Circus and match them to a list of known terrorists, that would be useful. You are in public. You know, The city of Baltimore was doing some of this mass surveillance, not face recognition, but they were flying Cessnas overhead, and got the police department got a lot of trouble because they hadn't told anybody they were doing that. And I guess it's appropriate. I'm not sure what the legal rules are. I guess it's appropriate to say if you're doing that. And you can imagine the public outcry if we knew we were being surveilled in that way. I think it's happening. I can't prove it. By the way, all those studies, according to Tokyo Jim in our chat room, all those cameras in the Great Britain, have they reduced crime? Apparently not. But, you know, you don't want to be the one guy who said, oh, let's not do this, and then something terrible happens, right? So the software exists. It's not hard to do. You already have that capability, as you've probably noticed, Apple Photos, Google Photos, Facebook. But it's constrained. You can't do strangers, and you can't walk around with it. When Google put out Google Glass, for instance, they said, well, we could do that. We could actually show you, you know, you're looking at somebody, we show you information about them, but we've decided that that would be wrong. Now, you have a legitimate medical reason. By the way, that is a real condition. Different people, you probably noticed this in your life. Some people are better at remembering faces than others. I'm terrible at it. But I meet a lot of people, but I never remember. I mean, I can say, ah, you look familiar. I actually have the opposite. I think everybody looks like everybody else. I'm the guy who goes, I know her. No, you don't. No, I do. No, you don't. I never met her before, but I know her. No, you don't. I'm the opposite. And I would love some sort of augmented reality, Microsoft HoloLens or Google Glass style, that would superimpose as I'm walking down the street. That's Joe. You know him. You worked with him for 2 years. His kids are named Sally and Betty. His wife is named Irma. And his birthday is tomorrow. So you could, oh, hey, Joe, good to see you. How's Irma and the kids? Happy birthday, by the way. I don't know if I'm going to be talking to you tomorrow. Happy birthday. Man, you'd be, how to make friends and influence people, right? Of course, me, I go, you look familiar. No, I don't know you. I don't know if there's any way you can get this technology for yourself. It would be, you have a legitimate reason to use it. But none of these companies, to my knowledge, are letting this out. It'll happen eventually. You know, Stephen, at some point in the years to come, some company, because it's just accepted that we don't do that. There's no law against it. It's just they don't want the hue and cry that the public would say, yeah. But somebody's going to, because it's so useful, right? Somebody's going to come along and they'll have something, the face recognition ear pod that you put in your ear and it whispers, okay, on your left, that guy, he fired you in 1987. Now you can see the problem right there. Who's that girl? You don't know her, but she lives at 11 Main Street. Oh, thank you. You could see the difficulty. I suspect this will happen at some point. It's just that the technology's out there. It's going to be hard to keep a lid on it. But, Stephen, as far as I know, and if I'm wrong, please join us in the chat room or call 8888-ASK-LEO or leave a comment on techguylabs.com. If there's software that will do this, let us know. Maybe you can, you know, go to your physician and say, hey, is there some sort of software I can run? You know, that would, you know, if they had a vetting process, like, well, these people, they need this because they can't recognize faces. Now we get to Gina in Winnetka, California. Hi, Gina. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi.
Hey.
Let me take you off speaker.
Oh, that'd be great. Then we could be more intimate.
Thank you.
Now, what can I do for you?
I bought an Acer Aspire Bar in January with Windows 10. Uh-huh. And I...
Oh, I don't hear anything. And I think it's our phone system.
With the screen freezing. Okay. I'm a court reporter. And when I'm writing real time, my steno machine is connected to my computer and I don't have my hands on the screen, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it freezes. It seems like it freezes a lot more when I'm doing real time as opposed to when I'm working on it or something. And I've checked my sleep modes, they are not on. I've got them to never come on.
So we had a little bit of drop out there. So let me see if I can get the details here from you. Is it only when you're using your steno machine, or is it when you're typing on your regular keyboard as well?
As well.
Okay. And what happens is you're looking at your document and you're typing and the letters aren't appearing exactly when you type them, but later.
No. The screen totally freezes.
Oh.
The computer is frozen.
It gets busy.
I have the same problem with Vista.
Yeah. So it gets busy. And then does it catch up or does it never see those characters?
No.
It never sees them.
No, I have to reboot.
Ay, 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 ay.
Yeah.
It's not even that old of a computer.
No, no. And I defrag,
it's not something, probably not something you can fix. I would call Acer, it's still under warranty, and just say, I want a new one. I'm not sure what's happening. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Sorry, hold on a sec. So the problem is... All right, I'm sorry. I had a break, Gina. The problem is that computers don't do just one thing at a time anymore. They're doing all these other things. It sounds like... Now, are you saying that eventually it will unfreeze or it never unfreezes?
It never unfreezes.
Oh, that's crashing then. Yeah, so if that's crashing like that, and mm-hmm. and it just not now there's a couple possibilities. It is possible that the whole computer has stopped working. Can you see the clock, for instance? Is the clock moving?
I believe it stopped.
Yeah, that's the question, because if it could be just it's not responding to the USB bus where the keyboard and mouse is, but it's still thinking. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. it could be I'm just they call it halted. I'm not moving. The processor's not moving. If it's the latter, then there's something significantly wrong with the system. And I think this is something where Acer would take it back and give you a new one. What they'll try to get you to do before then, and they may even demand it, is that you reinstall Windows. Because they're going to say, well, it could be software. So we're going to have you reinstall Windows. And they do that because they don't know what you've installed. They don't know you're running some specialized program. Maybe that's doing it. So they're going to take you mm-hmm. back to bare bones Windows and see if it happens. Mm-hmm. So if you want to kind of proactively do that before you call them, it might not be a bad idea just to see. If that fixes it, then there is some software on there that is doing this. It's crashing and crashing the whole system. Could be the Steno software.
Okay.
But a freeze like that is a crash. And the only fix you found is turning it off, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sigh.
And it's not easy to turn off. I have to hold the button
right.
for a few seconds.
Right. There's no on-off switch. You have to press and hold that button.
They have suggested that they have instructed me rather to they called it refresh Windows.
Yeah.
And I tried to make a mirror backup onto an external drive and it wouldn't let me. It said there was an error. I can back up my court reporting software, but for example, if I just wanted to back up my desktop or documents, I don't know how to do that. Other than a mirror copy.
Well, there's lots of ways. And do this because I think this computer is not in good shape. Get a USB drive or USB thumb drive, a key, and just drag the documents you want onto it.
Okay.
That way you will have a copy on that. And do that soon because it could be that the hard drive is failing. I don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And mm-hmm. I think only Acer could really diagnose this. If reinstalling Windows fixed it, and you don't want to do that until you've backed up your data, obviously. Then it would be something got installed or some drivers on there or something went wrong, which is not unusual. It's a complex beast that is causing this crash. This is a crash. That's what's happening. When the processor halts like that. It can also be overheating. Could be a crack in the motherboard, a flaw in the motherboard, bad memory. There's lots of hardware issues that could be too. And so the reason they have you replace Windows is to eliminate any software possibilities. And if it's still happening, well, then we're going to take it back. And you need to get them. I think you need to get them to take it back. It's a lemon.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're going to have to jump through the hoops that they want you to jump through. And that now you understand why. They want to make sure it's not software.
Right.
So get a USB key or USB drive. Copy your important documents off onto that. You don't need a mirror image. I would reinstall Windows from scratch. See if it's working okay. If you have someone more sophisticated around, you could make a Linux boot disk and use Linux off of a CD or a USB key just to see if it works. If it all works fine then it isn't hardware, it's just software. But if it's still happening, then we know it's a hardware issue. I have to run. Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you, Gina. I hope that helps. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I talked to Gina a little more off the air during the break. When your computer just stops working, well, first of all, you want to make sure it is actually not working anymore. Because what could have happened is the USB bus could have failed and the keyboard and mouse are not responsive. That means you'd move the mouse, the pointer would stay still, you'd type, nothing would happen. And so you need clues to see, is the computer still thinking? Like, look at the clock. In fact, the next time you reboot and it's working, make the clock show seconds. You know, the clock in the lower right-hand corner. Or just put a clock with a ticking second hand on the screen and watch. If the clock stops, as well as the mouse not moving and the keyboard not working, then your computer has frozen. That's a crash. And a computer could freeze for a variety of reasons. A very common reason is overheating. To protect itself, the processor will stop. Say, no, not going to work anymore. I'm too hot. And, of course, there's no fix for that except probably getting a new one. If it's you got it in January, you get bad units sometimes. It sounds like a bad unit. But the first thing Acer is going to want you to do and you're going to need to do is try it. Make sure we want to eliminate software as a possible cause. So they're going to make you reinstall Windows anytime you call tech support, anywhere, anytime. Dell, HP, Acer. The first thing they're going to have you do after a few little, minor things is reinstall Windows. And we want you to, you got software on there. We don't know what that software's doing. Just put the basic Windows on there. See how that works. It's very nice. If you're a geek, you probably already have done this, to have a bootable operating system on a thumb drive. Linux is a good choice. You can, it's free. You can download it, put it on a thumb drive. Go to Ubuntu.com and get Ubuntu and put it on a bootable thumb drive. So that if something goes wrong, or something weird's happening, you're trying to figure out, is it hardware? Is it software? Software you can fix. Hardware you can't. Hardware goes back to the factory. So you need to understand. You boot up, you hold down the option or delete or F1 or escape, whatever it is that lets you choose your boot order. Every machine's a little different. On my machine, I think it's F11. Anyway, you have to figure out what it is. And then it'll give you a list of all the things you could boot to. One of them will be that USB key. Boot to that USB key. Now it's not going to run real fast because you're not running it off the internal hard drive. You're running it off a USB thumb drive. But Linux will run, and you can open a document. You can type. You can mess with it for a while. See if you can make that crash happen. If it does not happen, then it's something wrong with your Windows install. It's software. It's fixable. If it still happens, even though you're booting from a clean install of Linux, and you're still, after a while, it just freezes solid. I can't move. Hardware, and that has to go back to the factory. That's very rarely anything you could fix or a technician could fix in a laptop. And at that point, you're still under warranty. The good news is you got another 3 months to figure this out. Thank you, Gina. Let's go on to Marlene in San Pedro, California. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. Have a wonderful holiday. You'll love St. Petersburg if you've never been there. And you were saying earlier about 2018, if women will still be around, if they survive, we will be.
It's a Zager and Evans song. It goes, in the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, will they fall in love? I'm going to get Michael, our musical director, to play it when we come back.
Excellent.
I didn't make it up, and I wasn't dissing women. I hope they survive. Oh, no. Because you know what the truth is? Without women, men ain't going anywhere.
Exactly. You got it right. Your mama taught me right.
I wouldn't know how to get up in the morning. I would just, I'm going to watch football all day. I don't know.
So here's my problem. This is my third iPhone 6. I'm a T-Mobile user,
and you're not the percentage. About 95% of my calls, 18 to 20 minutes into the call, I can't hear them. I've contacted T-Mobile, and they said something about make sure it's on VoIP and data, and it's still happening. And it doesn't matter where in the world I'm at, it just happens. And
I would suspect the phone, except you've done three different phones now.
Exactly. And so, pardon me, so I don't know if it's, I don't think the iPhone 6 is like perfect, and I'm not going
to. No, but it doesn't do that to anybody else. And look, I could see how you'd have one that did it. And maybe if really the gods were frowning upon you, two, but the likelihood of three in a row doing exactly the same thing is very low. So it sounds to me like it's a T-Mobile error. They're not owning up to it, are they?
Well, they said that they thought it was their issue, and so they made certain that I was on, you know, LTE, voice and data.
Yeah, you want You always in an iPhone, and you always want to turn that on. Yep.
Yeah, I put it on that. It's still happening, and you know, I've been on with every, you know.
By the way, that cutting out that you just hear, that's not her, that's us. Because we have the same problem. she'll come back in a second. I don't know what's going on with
T-Mobile. They said they're saying they're having that, but not as much as I'm having. And about 95% of my calls.
That's terrible.
18. Oh, please.
and are you getting like 4 or 5 bars? You're getting a good signal from AT&T, or is it marginal?
It's always full bar. It's with T-Mobile. And, yeah.
Now, Garst is asking us a good question in the chat room. Did you just take the SIM card from one phone to the next, same SIM card, or did you get a new one?
We got a new one the last phone.
Yeah. So it's certainly not the phone. It's certainly T-Mobile, but it doesn't sound like T-Mobile has a very good handle on why it's happening.
No.
And by the way, now, I'm a T-Mobile customer. Now, it hasn't happened to me, but I don't think I've ever made an 18-minute call. So
I gossip a lot.
I don't spend. So it could be that it is happening to me. I just never talk long enough for that to happen. Does a phone feel warm when this happens?
Sometimes it does, you know, and I make certain that I'm closing all my, you know, running apps behind. You know, I've tried to do everything. We reset my phone. Each and every phone, we reset.
Does it happen in multiple locations?
Multiple locations, doesn't matter where I'm at.
So it's not that cell tower, it's a variety of cell towers.
Yeah, right.
Wow. You stumped me, and obviously you stumped T-Mobile as well. I cannot, it seems, now Burke is saying in our chat remote, it's the phone, but you've had three different phones do this. Like maybe they were all iPhone 6s though, right?
Correct. You know, and I'm pressing too much on my,
Well, I've had that happen. The iPhone is supposed to have a proximity sensor, right? Where you put your phone up. Have you tried using the headset instead?
Headset as well. Headset.
Same
well.
Thing?
Apple head. Exactly. At first, I thought it was the jack. The first two phones, I swore it was the jack. You know, it's like, okay, you guys had perfected. And one of the techs at Apple had said, oh, yeah, we've heard a lot of problems about the jack. It's like, okay, great. So then on my third phone, this one that I'm speaking on, I said, okay, I'm not going to use a headset just to see. And it's.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room is saying that it happens to him on Metro PCS, which also uses the T-Mobile network. So I'm wondering, in fact, T-Mobile sounds like they even might have known this happens. I'll tell you what, I can't help. I don't know. Maybe somebody listening does. Keep listening. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You try a different phone, maybe. Used to be a big problem. Remember, dropped calls happened all the time. And then they were mostly better. And now it sounds like they've come back.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I'm a Mac user. I'm, you know, everything is connected and it's just frustrating.
If you could you know what I would love to do is take your SIM and put it in somebody else's phone, like an Android device, and just see if the same thing happens. You know what? It's likely an interaction between the iPhone and the T-Mobile network. And yet I use an iPhone on T-Mobile, always have, and I haven't had that problem. But again, I don't talk very long.
Yeah.
Somebody corrosive in the – a couple of people in the chat room said it's happened to them.
Uh-huh.
Here you go. Sybil says, I received a text from T-Mobile warning iPhone 6 users iOS 10 may have connectivity issues. What you need to do is go to General, About, Carrier Update. But I bet you T-Mobile told you to do that as well, right?
Yeah, they've gotten, like, you know, they've gotten inside my phone.
And did it happen before iOS 10?
Yes. Yes, I mean, because this is my third one, so this has been when iPhone 6 just came out. I bought it, you know, 2 months later, and it's been since then. And it's just been the 6, and I've changed my SIM just recently. You know, just.
And you brought this into the T-Mobile store, or have you just been on the phone with them?
I took it in once, and they didn't know anything. And then the last two visits with them on the phone, and, you know, been escalated to their teams, and they've said, that's when they said to make certain it was on voice and data, because I used to just have it on, I guess, data, and then, but it's still,
They're just throwing darts. They don't know.
Yeah.
So, well, there's that setting. Try that. No, that didn't work. This is interesting. You're mostly in the same area, though, right? It's not like you're traveling all over different places all the time.
It'll happen when I'm traveling. It's just not in the San Pedro area. It just happens. And again, it's about 95%. I thought for sure it would have happened to you, but it didn't. And the funny thing is, I was on T-Mobile one time. It happened to them. I'm talking like 50 years into it, and then we hang up.
Well, okay. Then it sounds like there's a network issue with T-Mobile, frankly. And maybe they're not copping to it, maybe because they can't fix it and they don't want to let anyone know that there's a problem. I have to say, after you've said this, a number of people in the chat room have said, yeah, that happens to me too. Just don't know.
Yeah, well.
How about Wi-Fi? When you're on Wi-Fi calling, does it work fine?
You know, I haven't really noticed if it works or not, because the only time I do Wi-Fi is when I'm international, so I really don't do Wi-Fi when I'm at home.
Yeah, because T-Mobile with an iPhone will do Wi-Fi calling. So if you're on your home Wi-Fi network, it will prefer that over the cell network. And see if it happens then. If it doesn't happen then it's the cell network.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're just trying to narrow it down by eliminating possibilities, right? So if it works on Wi-Fi, then it's a cell network. Or there's maybe an app that's an unusual app on your phone that's doing it. I don't know.
It shouldn't. Okay. Well,
wait,
thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, and keep listening because, you know, somebody may say, oh, I know what it is. I doubt it, but that it could happen.
Cool. We'll have a wonderful holiday.
Oh, you're so kind.
Thanks for listening. Okay.
Thank you. Take care, Marlene. Bye bye. She's had three different phones. Resetting is not the issue. I could give her the magic incantation. Maybe I should do that. That turns on cell phone diagnostic mode. If I do, they're going to hate me. I shouldn't tell you this. And maybe I'm breaking some tech guy code. There is on every cell phone a diagnostic menu hidden. But if you dial the right numbers in your dialer, you can turn it on. I'm going to try the T-Mobile one. I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm going to leave this to you and your research. You just Google something like cell phone diagnostic code. And you enter it in. It's a nonsense number with hashes and asterisks. And then you dial it. And it should put your phone in an interesting mode where it shows signal strength, shows a lot of information that's useful and perhaps helpful in diagnosing this. I don't think the cell companies want you to know this. They don't want everybody running this. But that hidden diagnostic mode, it can be useful in a case like this. Let me just try it. just see if it still works. I haven't done it in a while. Let's see, hashtag star dial. Oh, maybe it's not working anymore. Or maybe I entered it wrong. Do a little search, and you get some idea of what's going on, what your signal strength is. And maybe you could see the call actually drop. I don't know. For all I know, you're not supposed to even mention. It's like Fight Club. No, you're not even allowed to mention that such a thing exists. I don't know. Charles is in Colton, California. Hi, Charles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting a computer running. Wondering if you had any suggestions.
I'm sorry. We're having trouble with our phone system. You were thinking about getting a computer with a...
Ubuntu.
Linux. Yeah, so you don't actually, if you have an old PC lying around, you can try it without buying it.
Yeah, well, I used it before.
Okay. So you know you like it. You know you want it. Yeah. So the
asked them to install it, but they said the computer's too old.
That's funny because Linux tends to run very well in older computers, but anyway. So there are companies that actually sell computers running Ubuntu just as they sell Windows computers. In fact, Dell is one of the foremost companies that does that. They, a couple of years ago, had an engineer said, you know, we really ought to make Linux available for our customers. So it called Project Sputnik, and you can buy a Dell XPS 13, which is a wonderful Windows PC, with Ubuntu pre-installed.
Oh.
And okay. So if you need a new computer and you want to try Ubuntu, it saves you a little money, not a lot, but you don't have to pay the so-called Microsoft tax because you're not buying Windows. Or you could buy a Windows PC and dual boot it into Ubuntu. You know, have both.
Right. Right.
You know, okay. I mean, that's also possible. And if you have an older computer, it depends how old it is, but there are versions of Ubuntu designed for older computers. Xubuntu, sometimes pronounced Shubuntu, xubuntu.org. And Lubuntu, Lubuntu, are designed for older, slower hardware.
Yeah, I think mine's like around 2009, 2010.
Oh, yeah, that would run Xubuntu, no problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then you can play with it. Now, I love Linux. I am a huge fan, and I feel like Linux, which is a free Unix-like operating system that can be put on many, many computers, has reached a maturity that now you could use it, I think, as a full-time desktop operating system. If you use an Android phone, you're using Linux. If you use Chrome OS, you're using Linux. When you surf the net, most of the web servers you're on are running Linux. So it's you're already using it every day, probably. But it's nice to use as a desktop operating system. There are also versions of Linux designed for refugees from Mac and Windows. Like, you might want to look at Elementary OS. This is a Ubuntu flavor. They've taken Ubuntu and added to it to make it super user friendly. Elementary OS. And they ask for a donation, but as with all Linux variants, you can get it for free as well. And I have to say, it's worth a try. If you feel comfortable with it, you may be much happier, certainly more secure, more reliable in many cases.
Is it susceptible to viruses?
No.
Or?
Look, no computer software is bug-free or absolutely 100% secure. But there are a couple of advantages of using Linux. One is it's inherently more secure, and it gets, because open source software tends to get patched faster because you don't have a company and all the bureaucratic layers you have to go through to get it fixed. So it often gets fixed faster. The second advantage is so few people run it on the desktop that hackers don't bother. It's one of the reasons Macs have been less attacked than Windows. They go after the numbers, right? If you write a Windows virus, there's a billion people you can infect.
Right.
So much smaller number using Ubuntu, maybe 1% or 2% of that.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Leo.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. I love the chance to plug it. I'm very happy. Now, the couple of versions of Linux I use, Ubuntu is the best known. It was created by a company called Canonical, run by an internet millionaire, Mark Shuttleworth. He put a lot of his own money into this. They do make money on it, not by selling it, but by selling support and services into businesses. A lot of businesses are using it. And as a result, they can afford to give it away. But it is a version of Linux that comes from a company. There are other versions of Linux that come from a non-community. There's no company at all. It's just a community of people who like it and use it. And I generally prefer those Linuxes. They seem to... they're a little, I don't know, their attitude is a little less commercial. I don't know how to describe it. Ubuntu is very good, and it's very mature and very well done. And generally, for your first Linux, it's the best place to start. But I like to use Debian as well, which is one of the oldest flavors of Linux and is, in fact, what Ubuntu is based on. That's one of the reasons I prefer it. It's fully community-created. Nobody makes money on Debian. And then also, the real hardcore Linux folks will use Arch. And if you want to know why, just ask somebody who uses Arch. He'll be glad to tell you in extreme detail. But I actually like it. It's a lot of fun. You get to build it from ground up, which gives you a great... For somebody who's getting into computers and wants to learn about computers, building a system with Arch is a great way to understand how it all works. Really good. So there's some very good choices out there. I'm a fan. It's a free, open source. That means the source code itself, the way it's done, can be viewed by anybody, which means you can make sure that there's no spyware in it, no government has got a backdoor in it, that it's, you know, protecting your freedom and your commercial, you know, your privacy from commercial interests. A lot of people care a lot about that. And it happens to run really well. The days of it being clunky, hard to use, finicky, are not completely over, but for the most part over. And it is at this point, I would say, especially given all the calls I get about people suffering with Windows, a more reliable, more robust, more secure, easier to use operating system than Windows. And it's free. All right. One more segment to go. 8888 Ask Leo. I'll take more of your calls when we return. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leaving on that midnight plane to Paris. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Jack in Louisiana. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how are you doing, Leo?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
I remember listening to you back when you were at Call for Help, and I'm glad I got to talk to you today.
Back way back when on ZDTV, a.k.a. Tech TV, yeah.
Absolutely.
I was a minor celebrity on a mostly unknown cable channel. Those were the days.
Not to me.
Well, thank you.
I am a, I'm in my 40s, and I want to start a moto vlog. I just got back into motorcycling. I've had motorcycles my entire life, but I've just gotten back into it. I bought a GoPro Hero Session.
Nice.
And, right, and because it fits my knees perfectly. However, you can't record your own audio to that.
Hey, how are you? What's your name? What's his name?
That's Avery and Jackson. They know you as Uncle Leo.
Oh, hi, Avery. Hi, Jackson. But they're swimming up. So this is a little tiny GoPro.
Right.
So it's, which is great because you can put it anywhere on your bike and it doesn't get in the way. But, and it's waterproof, which is kind of cool. But you're saying it doesn't record. Well, it hasn't. Microphones. What's going on with the audio? It doesn't record the audio?
I can't put an exterior.
Oh, an exterior microphone. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what guys are doing is they're actually recording
separately
to a separate device.
Yeah.
The audio.
Right. Then you sync it up.
And they are. Right. And in post-production, they are putting the audio from the separate device into the.
Right.
The video.
That's easy to do, yeah.
Right. So I am looking for a device that will record to either that will record my audio either in MP3 or in waveform.
Okay.
So that I can put that to the video.
Now, of course, you're on a motorcycle. It's noisy. What is the audio you're going to record? Do you have a microphone or is it the...
Yes.
You do. So you want to talk.
Yes, it has an external. I need that have an external mic that will go into the helmet.
Got it. Got it.
So that I can record into what I'm saying as I'm driving along.
Okay. Of course, your smartphone will do that.
Well, that was the other question. I was wondering, is there an app that will allow me to plug into my smartphone, which I have an LG V10. Love that phone, by the way.
Nice phone, yeah.
That will allow me to input an external mic.
That's interesting. Yeah, because Yes, of course, because all smartphones, except the iPhone, have a that audio jack is also a microphone jack.
Okay.
So, in fact, you got with the V10 a pair of earbuds that had a mic on it.
Right.
So that's an analog. There's an analog mic in that could go in there. So all you need to do is get a microphone that has a mini phono jack of that style and plug into it. I'm a fan of the Zooms, but anything that could handle an external mic should be able to do that. And then you just need to get the right adapter that would plug into the phone's audio jack, because that's a microphone as well as an audio jack. Of course, otherwise you wouldn't be able to use your headset to make calls.
Right, right.
Rode makes one, R-O-D-E, the Rode Reporter. That's James DeRuvo's telling us. And that's an excellent – Rode makes microphones. That's an excellent little portable digital recorder. And then I like the Zoom, Z-O-O-M-H-1, handy recorder.
Okay.
And let me see. Does it have – what you need is a – yeah, it has a little microphone port on the side there. So you just need the appropriate wire, cheap wire, to go from your head – your that's if you don't want to use the phone. Go from your microphone and your helmet to that, and it could record externally. So you have a choice. If you don't want to use your smartphone, use the Zoom. If you want to use your smartphone, the Rode, R-O-D-E, recorder will do that as well.
Now, which app would you use on the smartphone?
Oh, there's lots of free apps you can download. Not a big deal.
Okay.
I use one I really like. Trying to remember if it's available for Android. It's called Ophonic. I think it is. A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C. It's kind of cool because it not only records, it uploads to the cloud, and you have cloud-based editing as well.
Okay.
So that's it's kind of a kind of a cool app for, I would use it to make podcasts, for instance.
Okay.
And it's free for up to 2 hours of audio a month. So that's a pretty cool solution, and it has an automatic leveler and loudness and all sorts of things that will help you, because it's going to be, despite the fact it's in your helmet, it's still a noisy environment.
Right, but I put a dead cat on the microphone, and it seems to work out pretty good.
Oh, so you already have a microphone.
Yes, I have several, but I've used, and I've used two. I have an old Sony IP, I think it's an IPX200.
So microphones have two different ways of connecting. Professional microphones use this XLR connector, and that's not what you want. You want kind of a non-professional mic that can just use a phono jack, and it's going to be at a different level, and it'll be more appropriate, frankly, for their phone, unless you use something that can take line in. So this is a pretty easy thing. It's just a question of getting the right parts and so forth to connect it to your phone. That would be a great way to do it. You keep the phone in your pocket, you run Ophonic, you press record. You put on your helmet with a microphone in the helmet, plug it into the phone, and start talking and driving. And are you going to make, like, what are the videos for? Just demo of crazy driving videos?
Well, no. I'm in my 40s, so I don't do any crazy driving.
And you got kids. Yeah, you got kids.
I got things to look forward to.
Good.
So mine, right now, most of the motor vlogs are a bunch of younger generation doing crazy things, but I'm not into that. I think that maybe possibly there's some guys of my entire age who's gotten back into motorcycling who want to just see parts of the country.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge because it's not the wind so much. It's just because there's no wind in your helmet. It's just it's not a hog, is it?
No.
Because a Harley, you're not going to get any recording. you're gonna have a lovely sound of a engine, but not much of you. Hey, it's great to talk to you and your kids. Thank you, Jack.
Hey, Leo, I appreciate you, and I want you to know that you've got me back into technology over the past 4 or 5 years by listening to you.
Thank you.
And so much so that my kids call you Uncle Leo. So. Good job on you.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's a nice way for me to
have a good day.
Head out on vacation. Thank you, Jack. Have a great one. But it's hot in Louisiana right now. Muggy, too. Let's see if we can get Bernie in. I only have about a minute left, Bernie. What can I do for you?
Well, Leo, I get the behavior part about not picking on links and all that stuff. But
we're talking about malware, yeah.
Yeah, what I'm still confused on is Microsoft Essentials. Do we just need that?
That's all you need generally. If you feel like you want something that has other additional features, because Microsoft Essentials is pretty simple. It's free. It's the best of the free antiviruses. But there are certainly paid antiviruses that are more sophisticated, like our sponsor Webroot, like Nod32 from ESET. But again, the antivirus is a last line of defense. It's your behavior. That's the most important. Really is. To the point where many security experts don't even use antiviruses. Hey, I'm out of time. Have a great Geek Week. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.